listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to the front line. Wow, I love that. We are on the front line.
Too.
You know, I like, as believers, we're always on the front line, right? Is we're serving the Lord, and he doesn't, you know, I mean, there may be generals in the church, and they're in the back, you know, like all in the ancient days, you know, when the kings, they didn't necessarily lead people into battle.
Yep.
Although some did, which is great, but... Well, we know our King Jesus is leading us into the battle, so he's with us on the front line. And with me today, my co-host, Ann Limhoko.
Good morning. It's such an honor to be here. Today is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
And let us rejoice and be glad in it today.
And I'm excited for
today's program.
I am too. As we were praying beforehand, as the Spirit of God was moving powerfully. And in a moment, we're going to introduce our guest for the day. We do want to have a prayer for Ed Skiba, who is the other co-host who's normally here. He's moving. God is moving him to a place of great healing, but right now he's got some health issues, and so he wasn't able to be with us today. But I'd just like to ask you all to join me in prayer for Ed.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for our brother Ed. He truly is a powerful witness for Christ and has been so for many, many decades, Lord, as you have led him into mission fields and safely out of some of them and into great places of service, Father, which he is still in today. And Father, we pray your healing hand would move him to a place where you want him to be fully restored. I have his permission to pray this way because he wants to be fully restored. He's still got time. He's 82 years young, Lord, and he has a lot of hunger yet to serve you, Father. And so impart to him the riches of your healing grace and move your spirit in his life and move him into the realm and the influence of those whom you have selected to be a part of the healing process for him.
Lord.
And that you've given them wisdom, you've given them opportunity, you've given them skills. And to bring all of that together in your appointed time so that Ed is fully and completely restored and is then able to fully address the call you've put on his life every day. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we're privileged to have Dorothy Kraft with us today, and we're going to find out in this hour a little bit about who you are and what you do and how you serve the Lord Jesus. So, and I'm going to, Ann is kind of the connective point here because you both go to the same local church, Revived Church.
Yeah, Dorothy's my dear sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. We both attend Revived Church in Stuart. The Lord has brought us together. We're going to be working more intimately with each other. And I only want to work who the Lord brings, and he brought you in my path. And I'm very excited to get to know Dorothy more. She came highly recommended by Amy Pritchett, who is a Martin County School Board member, who many of our listeners have heard Amy on this show because she's been on a couple times, also on Wednesday Live. So I prayed about it, and the Lord's like, bring Dorothy on. And Dorothy is a temperament specialist and a life coach. And she has a passion for helping people with our identity. And you may not understand what that fully means. I don't either. And that's why we're here to have her today, because the Lord placed her in Martin County at the school board. I mean, at the school district. And I don't even know where the Lord has placed you in other areas. But I'm excited to have you here because she's doing ministry for the Lord.
Amen.
Dorothy's a mature woman of God, walks with the Lord, hears the Lord's voice, follows the Holy Spirit. And I want to bring her on. We wanted to bring her on today to hear how the Lord is using her on the front lines and how the Lord has gifted her in her skills.
Amen.
So, Dorothy, welcome to the front line.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's so great to be here. Uh-huh. I'm so honored. All those things that you just said about me, it's just, you know, it's when you sit back and you see what the Lord has done in your life, it's amazing. And so thank you for all those wonderful things that you said. you have become such a dear sister in the Lord, and I'm excited for where we're going with all of that.
Yeah.
You know, identity.
Yes.
Such a huge thing.
Yes.
And it's funny, I don't know what the word is, but you know how, like, if you buy a red car, all of a sudden everybody has a red car. Or if you find yourself pregnant, everybody's pregnant, right? And so it just seems to be, because this has always been in my wheelhouse and been something that I have struggled with, identity, through the years. Mm. And I know we'll get into that a little bit. But it has really become such a passion for me, for us to really understand who it is that God created us to be.
Amen.
And so now it just seems like everybody's talking about it. So I don't know if that's just me. Because, you know, this is the lane that I'm in right now,
sure.
Or if it's just the way that God is really moving. And I do think that it has a lot to do with when we look at what's happening across our nation.
Yes.
And we see what's happening across the world. We can see that God's hand is directly influencing our world today as we know it.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that has happened over the last several years is that the church is really awakening.
Yes.
And she's
yes.
really starting to learn who yes. she's been created to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it, is the identity. God is, Jesus Christ is coming back for a bride without spot or
Amen,
blemish.
Dorothy.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So
yeah, yeah.
we need to know who that is.
Exactly.
Yes. And he needs us to know what he's coming back for.
Yes.
You know, something you touched on, something that's been an issue for me for a long time, and that I think it became an issue when I first met the Lord, the issue of identity. And at some point, the Lord showed me that the search to know who I am is not only legitimate, but it's God-driven, because at the very foundation of who I am and who you are is, we're made by God.
We are.
Mm-hmm. Now, since we're made by God, we're not made by anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We're made by God.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to know who God intended for us to be.
Yes.
And that's pretty much foundational identity issues.
Well, here's a scripture. It's Ephesians 2:10.
Mm.
And it really is the basis for what really, how this really speaks to it. I even named my business after one of the phrases, craftsmanship, in the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For we are his workmanship. Again, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus
yes.
for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them.
Amen.
So
yes.
that's exactly what you were talking about. You are created intentionally. You were designed
yes.
by the creator of the universe
mm-hmm.
for specific things that he created for only you can do.
Amen.
And if you don't know who you are, you don't know what that's going to be. I remember,
and you're not walking out what the Lord has created you to do if you don't know your identity.
No, and that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants
yeah.
to come in and strip that all away from you
mm-hmm.
so that you don't know what it is.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if he beats you down and you hear the negativity, or you think about all the things that maybe somebody else has and that you don't, and then you're thinking, oh, I should be more like that. And he's like, no, I created you this way.
Mm.
I like the saying is, don't... You can't, only you can be who you are.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And so it's like, don't worry about being anybody else, because nobody can do you better than you.
That's right. But at some point, you have to know who you really are in order to do it that well.
Correct. And yeah. I think, you know, I know you guys kind of want to go back into my history. And I think that's, like I said mm-hmm. Before, was that it was something that was really stripped away from me
mm-hmm.
as a child.
Mm.
Some of us didn't get that nurturing. A lot of mm-hmm. us are being raised in broken homes.
Yeah.
And a lot of our temperament comes, it's hereditary. It comes from our parents or our grandparents.
Yeah.
So let's say you're in a broken home, or you have, in my case, my biological father has never been a part of my life. He left
mm-hmm.
My parents got divorced when I was 2, and I never saw him again after 4. And I was one of those people that got
wow.
a Facebook request from my biological father at 43.
Really, Dorothy?
Oh my.
Yeah, just
wow.
randomly. So,
yeah.
So figure, when you look at it from that perspective, I had half of my DNA,
mm-hmm.
half of who, if you go back to the garden,
mm-hmm.
Yes. You should have a mom and a dad.
Yes.
Who train you up in the ways of the Lord.
Yes.
Who pour into you and they teach you. Well, mm-hmm. half of that was gone.
Yeah.
And when my mom got remarried when I was 8, unfortunately, he wasn't really a father. So I really didn't have that. And I had my mother. Good mom, but, you know, single mom. So she did the best that she could. I love them dearly. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't without its challenges. Mm-hmm. And so I can honestly say that it wasn't until I got into my 20s.
Yeah.
Because I'm so different than my mom. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, like literally half of my DNA wasn't around. I probably am more like my father's side of the family, but I didn't
thinking.
Know them.
Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. I didn't yeah. know them. Mm-hmm. And I'm a adrenaline junkie, cliff jumping, adventurous spirit. And yeah. my mom is the complete opposite. Uh-huh. So her mentality was, let me try and control this child. Let me try and give her boxes to put her in. And never explore the world because I can see that she's crazy and she wants to go and do all these crazy things and I won't be able to protect her. I know it came from a good place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, mm-hmm. you know, again, mm-hmm. it's all good. But she is so completely different than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did the best that she could. But I literally grew up never really understanding who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually kind of like the opposite. Was everything that I was receiving was, don't do that, don't be that. Mm-hmm. That's not normal, that's not good.
Wow.
That's, you know. So it wasn't until I got into my 20s, I got into the banking industry. I got married, mm-hmm. we were doing full-time ministry, and as anybody knows, ministry does, if you're in it for money, you're in it for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely.
There is nothing there, it's all good. You know, you're doing it for Jesus, and that's beautiful. So I actually worked outside of the home, and I was able to go into the banking industry, which was a really good thing for me. But I started going to these sales teachings, trainings that they mm-hmm. would teach you because mm-hmm. they wanted you to learn you about personalities. Because obviously, if you're dealing with the public, you're dealing with a lot of different people, you've got to know who and how to talk to people. And so I remember sitting in that one training and they're like, you know, are you a dolphin? Are you a shark? I don't even remember what the other two were. And they said, and if you identify, here's the attributes. And if you identify that, go to this corner or go to that corner, you know, the four corners of the room. And I remember sitting there and I'm going, well, I identify with the shark and I identify with a dolphin, so does that mean I stand in the middle of the wall? Like, what, you know? So, but it was the first time that I was like affirmed, like, it's normal. Like, there's other people that think like you or process like you.
Mm.
And, but it was still confusing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, but I identify with that and that, and I don't know. And so, but that was the introduction, I think, was the first time I ever felt affirmed mm-hmm. for who I was.
So, for over 20 years, the way the Lord had made you was being attacked by your mother, obviously not purposely.
No,
right. Not attacked, but
no.
Trying to put you in a box, and that's not how the Lord made you. Your personality,
correct.
The way the Lord's gifted you,
correct.
That's
but interesting. At what point did you actually meet the Lord Jesus?
Yeah,
it's a great question. I was raised. My earliest memories are being in the nursery. At church, my grandmother, who I am named after, her name was Dorothy. She's no longer with us.
Uh-huh.
But she wanted her grandchildren to be raised in the church. So she would come pick us up and take us. And of course, my mom and my dad and my stepdad that I call, he's my mm-hmm. dad because he's
yeah.
the only man I've ever known in that slot. So anyways, they eventually followed. But my grandmother would take my brother and I to church. So I grew up in church.
Mm. Okay.
And I can remember my grandfather at the time, he got baptized, and it had such a profound effect on me. But I always was raised around Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've never not had a memory that didn't go all that way far back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave my life to Christ when I was 10, mm-hmm. got baptized when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just had a really special relationship with the Lord. I can remember reading my Bible. My mom would literally have to come in and take my Bible away from me when I was like 11 or 12.
Wow.
At night so that I would go to bed.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. Wow. I have always, always just had a profound love for Jesus. Mm. But because of the challenges that I had as a child, I didn't know how to trust him. And I would say that I didn't really understand that until about 15 years ago to really start to understand that. I always had a love for him. But so fast forward, went to church camp. That's where I met my husband. We're no longer together, but that's where we met. Mm-hmm. And then we just felt a call into ministry. So we went into ministry. We have three beautiful children. And now I have three amazing grandchildren. So wow.
That's amazing.
It is. That is.
What a blessing.
It is. Yeah. But part of the struggle that I had through life was really identity. That's really, mm-hmm. if I had to go back, it was not, it wasn't that I didn't love the Lord. It was that I really just didn't have that affirmation to really understand where I was going. And I know if anybody who's listening, they have children, a lot of times our motivations in life center around our children. Once we have children, we start making our decisions based around that. So I think because I had children so early in life, I think that, you know, I, excuse me, I conformed to a lot of different things because I had a love for my family and a love for God, and we were doing ministry, and so there's a lot of sacrifices that go through that, and that's all good and well, but if you are not very clear in who you are, you have nothing to give. You will get depleted eventually.
You will literally
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened to me. Like when I was in my mid-30s to late 30s, I burned out. I just burned out. I had nothing left to give because I was doing it all in my own strength. And a lot of it was because I didn't know who I was. You know, you go here, you do this, you do that. You get just pulled in all different directions. And at the end of the day, if you're not really sitting, and I liken this to what Mary did, she just sat at the feet of Jesus. And I think if you don't do that, and you don't get your everything from him, you will literally chase after anything and everything. And some of us have tried, you know, run after alcohol or drugs or addictions or relationships and all of those things, but we really need to be filled with God.
Amen.
Yes.
And some of us have been wounded, like myself, who I was wounded. I absolutely loved Jesus, loved him, loved him, loved him, devoted my life to him, but there was still something off. And I think that whenever you can have that moment of revelation, of understanding that God loves you. Doesn't matter what you do for him. There's nothing I can bring to my Lord. There's nothing. And he just wants me to be who I am in him. And part of that, going back to the identity, is first of all, you have to know who God is. You need to know the attributes of God. He is gracious. He is kind. He is merciful. But he's also just. And God doesn't just love. He is love. He is the creator of love. And to be loved so intimately and to be known intimately by him, it's just an amazing peace to really start to understand the love of God and who he is. So the identity goes back to, if I know who he is and this is what he says of me, then, and then I start the revelatory part of like what we said in Ephesians 2:10, he's crafted me. He knit me in my mother's womb. Go back to Psalms 139. He knit me in my mother's womb. He knew me. And Jeremiah, it says he knew me before I was even here. He knows every day of my life. It's not really about works. It's really about being known by him and knowing who he sees you as.
So you said 15 years ago, you kind of had this revelation. Is that what you said, Dorothy?
Yeah, it was about 15.
So can you talk about what happened 15 years ago that the Lord like told you about all this and the identity?
Let me interrupt because we're close to a break.
Okay.
In fact, That's a great question. Close. Let's take the break. And then when we come back, if you pick up on that point that Ann just brought up, okay?
I will.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And welcome back. This is the front line. This always will be the front line on Mondays from 11 to noon. And we have our guest, Dorothy Kraft. And Dorothy was just about to kind of dive deep into what she, why she does what she does. So, Dorothy, I'm just going to give you the mic.
Well, you asked a great question as what happened 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I literally came to the end of myself, and God, in His mercy and grace, when you finally get to the end of yourself, He's always right there. He's got the answers.
Yeah.
And sometimes some of us who are a little bit stubborn, more so, or maybe stronger willed than others.
Yes.
I'm in that category. sometimes, you know, you just, it takes a while to get there. And I think it just really took a while for me to get there.
Yeah.
So what happened was, I really came to terms with, no matter how much I loved God, I was damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And there were areas of my life I had to look at.
Yeah. It became reflective and self-reflective.
Yeah. I mean, my marriage failed.
Yeah.
And my children are looking at me saying, you don't believe in divorce and you're getting one. I was broken.
Yeah.
I was broken. And I am so ever grateful. I met a gentleman. His name is Dr. Worley. He's up in Massachusetts. And he's just a wonderful man of God. And he has done a lot. He's a clinical psychologist. He's got a double doctorate in family and marriage counseling. And I was introduced to him. I actually flew up there, spent 2 days, 4 very intense sessions with him. And he started to talk to me about identity.
Wow.
And he talked to me about codependency. And it was literally like somebody went into my darkness, grabbed me by the hand, and walked me out and said, wow, this is how we're going to get out. And he worked with me for about 9 months to get out of that darkness of codependency and those immediate traumas and just really start to understand it. But one of the things that he gave me was the WIDP profile, which is Worley Identity Discovery Profile.
Okay.
So it's a WIDP.
Okay.
Some people probably who are listening maybe have heard of like Myers-Briggs or DISNC. What makes this a little bit different is, it's not looking at your personality or masks that we wear, meaning the mask that we wear is what we want people to see about us or how much we allow them to see into our lives.
Yeah.
And masks aren't necessarily bad. You know, I always liken it to like a family driving to church. They're having a massive fight, right? And then they pull into the church parking lot. They get out, and somebody goes, "Hey, brother, sister, God bless you. Isn't it a great day?" And you immediately say, "Yes, God bless God." Yeah. You know, and you just came out of. So masks aren't necessarily always bad because they are socially needed. But when you put that mask on and you don't deal with why your family was arguing, or you sweep it under the carpet, and you you go in and your children start to see this falseness, mm-hmm. and then they think that that's the way that they have to do life, then you've missed the point of why we wear a mask socially or things like that. So I'm not saying they're bad. Mm-hmm. They're just learn what they are and learn when it's appropriate and when it's not.
Yeah.
So the WIDP profile, what he did is he used that tool during that 9 months for me to start to understand how I was designed. And so some of these other profile things, they will teach you about your personality. So they'll teach you about when you're wearing the hat as a father or a mother, or yeah. when you go as a coworker, whatever, you know, profession you're in or whatever. WIDP, what it does is it breaks it down to your temperament. Your temperament does not change. A lot of people say, well, I was born an introvert, now I'm an extrovert. No, what you did was you probably still have tendencies mm-hmm. to be an introvert. And what I mean by introvert, extrovert is mm-hmm. an introvert needs to withdraw from people to recharge.
Yeah.
Extroverts, I'm in that category.
Me too.
Yes.
Need to be around people.
Yes. We recharge by being around people.
Yeah.
Anybody go to church on Wednesday nights? Mm-hmm. And if you're an extrovert, you cannot go home and go right straight to bed. You have to decompress.
Yeah.
Whereas the introvert on a Wednesday night's like, I'm usually in bed by now. I love you people, but I'm out.
I need to get home.
I need to get home.
Yeah.
Right. And so the extroverts are the ones that are always the ones that you're having to flash the lights to get out of the building. Like, we're locking it up. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, right. You know?
I've been in that spot many times, Dorothy, at Revive. Anyways, go ahead.
Yes, I have too. So yeah, it's just really starting to understand how you're hardwired. So that introvert who says, oh, I was raised an introvert and now I'm an extrovert, what you've done is you've learned socially what is acceptable or what is appropriate.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not that we're not saying you can't be an introvert or an extrovert can't be more reflective, you know, instead of being told by the lights going out or, hey, we're locking the door, you can mm-hmm. be a little bit more aware.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this mm-hmm. is the time, even though I really would love to keep engaging mm-hmm. in this conversation, I got to go. So it's just really when you learn who you are, now you have the freedom to be who you are and you're not trying to defend it all the time. Or get affirmed for who you think you are, now you're living in freedom and you're giving other people the permission to have that freedom as well because you're recognizing differences in other people.
So it wasn't until you went to go to Dr. Morley, where you spent 9 months with, did you accept who you were, how you were made, and you lived in freedom, whereas before you were kind of like feeling bad a little about how you were made? Or can you explain that? Is that the first time in 15 years?
That was the first time in
15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I'm 55 now.
Yeah.
So that was when I was in my early 40s. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I lived my whole life without even really understanding who I was and actually feeling like I was wrong or bad for being who I was.
So that's, can you kind of make a jump? So the Lord is mm-hmm. now using you in this area to help others find their identity.
Well, I have the honor and privilege of being good friends with Dr. Worley now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He has become a cherished mentor and just
Amen.
Resource.
Amen.
So fast forward about 5 years later, I went through his training. I got certified through the WIDP process. And I now do life coaching with folks to help them. So I look at it as three different kind of avenues. We do individually.
It's okay.
So learning who you are is really great individually.
Yes.
Then you can take it with all your relationships. So whether you are with your family.
Yeah.
So again, going back to the DNA, you've got a mom and a dad mm-hmm. and they create children, right? Now those children have differences or nuances of those two parents.
Yes.
Or they could even have something from their grandparent. Because again, we know temperament is hereditary. It's either your grandparents or your parents.
Yes.
So now, you know, anybody who has multiple children, you love them all the same.
Yes.
But why do you get along with some versus others? Mm-hmm. Why does it flow easier with mm-hmm. others? Or you can look at, if you're the wife and the mom, why does some of your children gravitate towards dad? Or they get along better with dad? Or dad just understands them better mm-hmm. because they're speaking their language.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Makes sense, Dorothy.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. And so we can help families. And we can also help blended families because, in my, like going back to my example, I had a stepfather.
Yeah.
And him and I don't have any blood relation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you go back to that hereditary part, this is a way that if a step-parent really wants to understand their stepchildren, you start to understand who they are and who God created them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to learn to speak their language to them. And it makes a lot more harmonious existence.
That's beautiful. Mm. I'm wondering what this test is, too.
I know. It's pretty cool. Right? It's 60 questions. And, it literally changed my life.
Wow.
So then you can also take it into the professional realm.
Yes.
All right. When you're at work, why do you get along with certain people and don't with others?
Mm.
Why does it seem like oil and water?
Mm.
And you can also take that into ministry, like volunteer, anything that you do. Why is it that I just click with certain people and I just don't with others?
Mm.
Or they'll say things that just seem so offensive, but other people didn't get offended by it. But why did I? So again, once you really start to understand yourself, then you give yourself freedom to start to understand others.
Okay.
You see how that works?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. This makes lots of sense.
And it just makes it, again, if you're in the workforce, you can use this as well to help. And that's what I do. I help people, whether it's professionally or personally. We sit down, we go through the process, they answer the questions.
Mm-hmm.
I get to know them. I get to understand who they are. And then we start to say, okay, where are your challenges at? What are your greatest areas of conflict?
Mm.
Okay, well, this is how God designed you. This is how you're processing. So let's. This is your strength. As we all know, your greatest strength can also be your greatest weakness.
Yeah.
If it's out of balance. So for me, I have a very strong personality. Anne knows this. We just had this discussion on Friday.
We're just getting to know each other.
Yeah,
but
we
that's
are.
Okay.
I know. This
that's
is why I'm excited.
Yeah. That's
for
okay.
us to work together too.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be really cool.
Yes.
But we already acknowledged that she's a very strong person and I'm a very strong person.
Yes.
And we found out really quickly that just verbiage was bringing up a conflict.
Yes.
Because there wasn't an understanding there.
Yes. And I'm glad that the Lord had us talk about it.
And
sorry,
how,
we don't want to go aside, but
we're working on
a ministry together, and we found out that our personalities are both strong,
but
because we talked about it, now everything's in the open,
right.
and we misunderstood each other.
And see, part of that was, I know that I have, God designed me with natural leadership ability.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look throughout my life, it's you know, it's played itself out that way.
Yeah.
But the thing is that if I go into a place knowing that I'm a leader.
Yeah.
And that I like to be in control of everything.
Yeah.
Then I can say to myself, this is not your circus. This is not your monkeys. This is, you don't need to be talking about that. You don't need to be in control.
Yeah.
And if somebody tells you no, sometimes I would take that, would be very crushing. Well, what do you mean you didn't like my idea? What do you mean you didn't like what I had to say?
Mm.
Right? And so now it's like, oh, you want to go in a different direction? That's okay. I'll give you my best argument. I'll give you my best reasoning. But if you don't take it, I'm not offended.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I've come to understand and learn that about myself. But I used to, especially in the banking industry, because, and of course I was a little younger then too, I was crushed if somebody critiqued me.
Oh, really?
I was crushed.
Mm.
I didn't know how to process it.
Mm.
And so now, with knowing who I am, and I'm very comfortable with that.
Amen.
It just lessens your stress level in just every area of your life. And then the other beauty is that when you start to learn that other people are different, you're not offended by what they do. Like, I remember one time, I'm a very extroverted person, and I just love people.
Yeah.
And I love talking to them. And I remember I ran up to a friend of mine in church, and I wanted to tell her something that was so amazing that was happening. And she looked at me and she goes, this is not the time. I need to focus on the Lord, and I will talk to you later. Well, to somebody who's like really relational, That could be really crushing.
Yes.
But because I know this dear woman in the Lord, and I know that she's a very task-oriented person, she was literally focusing, saying, I've got to focus. Mm-hmm. My focus right now is getting in the presence of Jesus. And Dorothy, you are not the priority.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't understand who she was and who I was, that could be a grudge that I might have held against her for a long time. But I looked at her. I laughed. I literally laughed. And I said, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
I went and found another extrovert to go tell my news to.
So, as you talk about this more, I'm just like, this is so vital that for personal reasons, for professional reasons, to have this test. Can you tell us, I know that you work now with Martin County School District.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Very organically. So, through the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
Some people refer to it as BC before COVID.
I never heard that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. World changed. I remember I just had a heart for our children.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have children in my home anymore, meaning an empty nester, but I am a grandma.
Yeah.
I realized the harm that was being done to children when they were closing down schools and, you know, it was just so prevalent. It was so.
And during COVID, that a lot of that came out and it was exposed.
Yes.
Yes.
So I just really felt like the Lord was saying, children need to really know who they are. And I think when I look back at the story of my life, looking at having a blended family, not, you know, being misunderstood, even with my, you know, spouse, sometimes, you know, your closest friends even, I just saw how the world is turning to, and they're really wanting access to our children. I heard somewhere where somebody said, you want to give your child a phone, usually for our conveniences to get in touch with them. But the thing is that you're not giving your child access to the world through a phone.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually giving the world access to your child.
So true.
Yes. And then you don't become the influencer anymore.
Mm.
The TikTok, the Instagram.
Yes.
It's just crazy. The amount of information coming at our children and at the age that it's coming at them.
Where their brains are not fully developed.
Yeah. And so I just have a real heart for children. You know, I know that we're talking about ministry and biblical things, but really, this can be in a school, and we don't even talk about God. I don't bring God into the situation.
Yeah.
But it's understanding, having that understanding that I do.
Yeah.
But really, if a child starts to understand their temperament, how they are in leadership, how they are socially, how they are in their personal relationships, that is something that does not change.
Yeah.
It can be damaged through trauma.
Okay.
But it will not change, because once they get healed of that trauma, they're still going to be who they are.
Yes.
So this temperament, when you can take this test as a child, it's going to follow you all the way through your life. It doesn't change.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we're not talking about masks. We're not talking about personality.
Yeah.
We're talking about how you think, how you process.
Okay.
How you receive information. And so a child who takes this temperament, now a teacher can understand who all is in their
classroom.
We can give it to the parents. The parents can now start to understand who their child is, especially if they've got multiple children. Well, this child needs to, you know, sometimes, like, we do know, we can sense in our children who are the quieter ones, who are the louder ones. Mm-hmm. Usually the louder ones, they get the more attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that we don't all feel. We all have levels of feeling. Mm-hmm. We all are feeling the same, you know, emotional responses.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether we see them on the outside or the inside. Extroverts, we wear everything on our sleeve. There's nothing you don't know, right?
You're speaking to a profound introvert here.
Okay.
Just so I understand.
Which is so interesting that we have the three of us and you introvert right
here. Yeah, but as an introvert, you still have all the same relational needs. It's just going to be with a very small group.
Generally, yeah.
Yep. And that's all you need.
But as a pastor, I've learned to extrovert, to engage with larger groups of people and interact.
But it's not your preference.
Because what you'll do is you'll task yourself, because
you
have a love for Jesus, and you'll say, the task says that I have to be extroverted in this moment, or I have to appear extroverted.
Right.
But I bet you your favorite place to be is in your office behind closed doors, probably doing
which I escape to as soon as I'm done with the extroverted behavior. Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. But I can go, I can do what I have to do with people, but then I go and recover. I have to have that, because I do, as you said earlier, introverts, we recover in solitude. That's where we get our energy.
Yeah. And you probably, introverts tend to have very limited areas of what they want to like learn.
Mm-hmm.
But you will probably be the subject matter. You will go as deep can be on that particular issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's probably only three or four things that you're very interested in. Not to say that you're not interested in people or learning facts or things like that.
Right.
But there's probably only a few things that are like your hot button.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But you probably know it better than anybody, backwards and forwards, upside yeah, and down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what, while we're kind of floating, we're going to be, again, digging deep.
Yeah.
You're right. I love mining, but only two or three shafts at one time. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
All right.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. A little slower tune than we normally play. Tim Zimmerman, How Great Is Our God? We're back now with Dorothy Kraft, and we've been hearing a lot of really cool stuff. I'm thanking God for what he's gotten you to do.
Amen.
These are areas that I've been concerned as a pastor, again and again, you know, getting back to the basics of identity and how critical that is, but how very little incentive there often is from our culture, and I'm even going to say in the church, to really explore who we really are, who God really made us to be. And so that's exciting to me that he's got you doing that. He's got many of our listeners thinking, whoa, where do I go from here? And maybe that's a good approach, is to ask you to say, where do Where do people go from here if they suddenly realize they don't really know who they are?
It's a great question. Well, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, I'm more than happy to help work with folks. Like I said, I work with individuals, both personally, professionally. I work with families. I actually work with part of Martin County. We've done when we say like the C-suite.
Yeah.
You know, working with the executives at the school district level, going in and helping them, because you want a well-oiled team. Yes. And if everybody knows what their parts are, or who their what their strengths are, and different things like that. And I think it just really comes down to not putting a what is that proverbial square peg in a round hole,
yes.
or the round peg
yes.
in a square yes. hole, whichever one it is.
neither of them fit.
Yeah, neither of them fit. But if you really, you know, again, you want a team at home, or whether it's professional, you want everybody to be firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. You want to be open and honest and vulnerable. And you want synergy there, right?
Yeah.
And how do you do that? Well, not only do you know you, but then you know the others.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to contact me, you're more than welcome to. I have a email. It's called Designed for Plan and Purpose. I know it's a long one.
Number four, right? Designed.
Actually, for... no. It's okay, all spelled out, all words.
Okay, good.
So Designed F-O-R.
Got it.
Plan and then A-N-D, purpose. Plan and purpose.
Got it.
Designed for plan and purpose. And it goes back to @gmail.com. So that's designed for plan and purpose @gmail.com. So the thing is, the cool thing about all of that is when you go back to really understanding that God has a plan and a purpose for you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that individualness is to bless others.
Amen.
Amen.
And if we don't understand that, then we keep missing the mark. And I think that that's really what I look back on my life. Mm. You know, I was chasing after good things. And I actually said this to Ann on Friday. I said, there was a saying that I used to put in the front of my planner. And I would, you know, anytime I opened up my planner, it was there. It said, there are many things that will catch your eye, but there's only a few that will capture your heart. Those are the ones that you focus on.
Mm. Makes sense.
But if you're damaged, or you are chasing after all of these things for affirmation.
Mm.
And I feel like God just sits up there sometimes and just laughs at us, because he's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
What are you chasing after?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't ask you to go there. It's okay. Because, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, if you trust in the Lord with all your, but the number 6 says, and I will make your paths straight. So it's like, basically he's up there. He's like, oh, there she goes again. That's okay. I got a plan to bring her back. I got the map. I just need her to clue in and just ask me where she's supposed to be, or wherever, you know, if he is. You know, it's just, God has so much patience and love.
Amen.
And it's really never about what we can do for him.
Mm-hmm.
He really is mostly interested in developing our character.
Yes, the
because
process.
Because really, you know, we say that there's three components to us. There's your spirit, there's your soul, and your body. And your soul is your mind, will, and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind, will, and emotions goes with you, and your spirit goes to heaven.
Yeah.
So the essence of who you are is what goes to heaven. And we know that Jesus in the Bible, when he talked about the parable of the talents, and he also talked about the parable of the minas, most people think they're the same thing, but they're not. But they still are very relevant. He says, if you want to know what the kingdom of God is like, God gives you talents, or he gives you a mina, and he says, or a mina, whatever. And he says, I want to see what you do with it. And based upon what we do with that is what our reward will be.
Amen.
Well, I know a lot of us think that when we get to heaven, we're just going to be up there riding around on clouds, you know, playing the harp or the lyre or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not it. We are going to be doing stuff.
Yes.
Because it says when he comes back, he's going to reward us with cities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to give us the ability to govern over those.
Amen.
Well, if you're wounded or you haven't developed those things in you, how can he entrust you with anything? Right?
Right.
I know we're kind of getting off into another field.
But
the thing is that I look at it this way. I have always said, I want as much healing on this side of heaven as I can have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say probably within the last 5-6 years, maybe a little bit more than that, is when I've started to really feel like I'm really understanding how effective God wants us to be in our everyday life, in our individual lives, in our professional lives, wherever he has us. But if we're being triggered, or we're being, or we don't have wounds, or we're carrying offense against somebody, and it is now bringing up a wall between relationship.
Yeah.
How can we effectively be moving through life?
Yeah.
And let's just be honest. If our relationships aren't right, though, especially the ones that are closest to us, we are miserable.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And we think, oh, if I just get rid of the person, i.e. divorce them, then I get rid of the problem. Well, guess what? You go with you.
Yeah.
Right.
And whatever that you couldn't figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a 50-50 split, or it's always 60-40 or 70-30. I'm just saying at some point you have to start to evaluate. And if you are, I have a friend, a lovely, lovely friend who always says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy.
Yeah.
If you are not in right relationship with God, if you are not experiencing peace and you're not experiencing joy, even in the most difficult of situations,
yeah,
it's not that you're outside of the kingdom and therefore you're being rejected or abandoned or God's isn't, you know, he's turned his face against you. It's not that. He's going, that's what I want for you.
That's beautiful.
I want you to be in right relationship with me and with man. I want you to have my peace. I want you to have my joy.
Yes.
That no matter what the circumstances are, your eyes are on me.
Yes.
But if we're not understanding our identity, if we're not understanding that we are carrying different things, and we're not making breadth and depth and room for other people to be who they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of conflict. I love this conversation. It's very eye-opening.
You know, I did not invite calls. I meant to. But we do have time for at least one phone call.
Somebody wants to call.
And maybe it's just that one person that needs to call.
Yeah.
772-221-1100 is the number at the station. 772-221-1100. And if you have a question or comment for Dorothy.
Well, as an extrovert, bring it. I love it. I can't talk enough.
Yeah. Well, I've already been thinking about your next appearance here. You know, and I was going to extend the invitation. I did kind of before we started, but this is a huge area of concern for so many people. And that profound spiritual dimension that we just don't ever get to deal with. And a lot of pastors don't go there. I'm telling you, as my colleagues, they don't. There's no invitation. In fact, there's a fear. I won't go so far, you know, and then no further. And that's not true of all, but I'm saying most of the pastors I know, they're not going to deal with this. So there's a great need in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Extant today, to have people that are willing to do that. I think I see hear a phone ringing and no one's answering. So
the phones are ringing out there, but unless they patch it in the studio, but Dorothy, our identity and knowing our identity is crucial to everything in your life. If you don't know your identity, you're going to be, you know, maybe doing things that Lord doesn't want you to do and be distracted. Is that a phone call?
Well, it was supposed to be coming here.
I pray the phone call goes through.
Yeah, I haven't called back again.
Okay. It hasn't rung, so.
Okay.
Well, just to caveat off of that, you know, and what David was saying about pastors, I think a lot of times, and this happens professionally, so this isn't just in the church.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that we see the frustration of this a lot, especially for those of us who are very active in our churches.
Yeah.
We will try to put that round peg in that square hole.
Yeah.
And then you're miserable and
Here's
you don't
the
even
call,
know
Dorothy.
Why.
There cool, let's answer that.
Awesome.
You're on live. This is WCNO. Hello. Go right ahead. Caller?
We may have lost him.
Okay.
Okay. Well, try it again. We have a couple more minutes.
Whoever's trying to call in, because obviously it's important, and the enemy doesn't want you to get on the air, so let's bring it.
7 minutes.
Let's defeat that enemy. Keep calling. Keep dialing.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a good sign, though. People started to call as soon as we gave...
That's beautiful.
Is there, I was just asking, you don't have to give it, but is there a number that
absolutely
people call?
You can call me.
Okay. I think we might be getting that call in.
Okay.
Again.
I'll give you my number.
Okay.
772-341.
Okay.
0306.
And there it is. Okay.
Yep.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie. I wanted to just thank you, Pastor David and Ann, and your guest,
Dorothy. Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hi.
She's partial to that name.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say thank you for reaching out to so many hurting families that are in that blended family category, those that have gone through the divorce, the aftermath of the young people, you know, our children growing up to adults and still having struggles. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, God has a woman in your heart for you and Ann to take this on, because this seems to be at the very pulse of all that's trying to happen against, you know, when young people are just trying to come back to the Lord. And I just want to thank God just for the opportunity to be able to bring blended families, you know, back into the opportunity to have a renewal of heart and purpose and love. And I just praise God for you, Dorothy and Ann. And I just pray that your ministry and Pastor David, I'm just so grateful for this radio station.
Thank you. Love you, Ann.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say, I think this is really beautiful because... Anne-Marie, what you said, it's just really at the heart of God. Look at it. I look at a blended family. Take the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. You have Israel. Mm-hmm. That is 12 tribes, but they signify 12 different men, mm-hmm. and they came from all different mothers. You think that God can't take a blended family and use it?
Amen.
He created a nation out of it.
Yeah.
So God's heart is for families, no matter how you come about.
Yes.
He really does.
Yeah, and my husband is Jewish also.
Oh, that's special.
With my present husband. And just circumstances, just would ask for prayer, just because when things happen, you mentioned triggers and so forth, that there's still those challenges, but praise God, you know, God is always merciful and loving and always drawing back, and I just praise God, because what an important aspect of this ministry that you all are speaking about today, because it hits right to the family, which is really what's under the major attack of the enemy today.
Yeah. Amen.
You have a beautiful heart, Anne-Marie.
Thank you
listening,
Anne-Marie.
Does. I've known Anne-Marie for many years.
Yeah, and I had the honor of meeting her recently in person. So.
I'll just say, Anne-Marie, praise God for your heart, because I know it's a heart devoted to Jesus. And I first met her in a caregiving situation, right, Anne-Marie, back in the day when I was a hospice chaplain and you were working in one of the facilities, so...
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I love it that we got that call.
As soon as
we opened up the phone lines.
And next time I'll try it. But I think maybe this was God's time.
No, Holy Spirit had it.
Next time, because I get engaged, right? I'm supposed to be paying attention to what's going on. But
we were paying attention.
I know you were. And I thank you for that. Really. Time is almost up, and which is kind of sad, because I'd like to have another hour to have you share and explore. But then we'll have another hour down the road, and we'll be talking about that maybe after the program.
Amen.
I would love to come back, talk more.
So, we don't really have enough time to expand on anything, but...
What about a prayer?
Well, a prayer.
I would love to have Dorothy pray.
If you could do it in a minute and 20 seconds.
Because sometimes I pray at the end, and I'm
getting
kicked.
You're asking a lot of an extra
word. I know.
Hello. No, that's why David gave you a...
No. Because I am aware
so
of who I am, I will do my best to close it out.
However the Holy Spirit leads
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we know that you are in charge of all things. We know that you are speaking to us.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for every person who heard this message,
yes,
that will hear it, whether it's on repeat somewhere down the way.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you are speaking to us if we're willing to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, you have healing. As we said in the beginning, Lord, you are coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. You want us healed. You are a God of healing.
Amen.
And you want us to come to you. And you are our all in all. And Lord, I pray that if there's anything that is holding anybody back,
mm-hmm,
whether it's past trauma, current trauma, addictions, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that they would come to you and know that you have grace,
Amen,
and mercy,
Amen,
and healing for them. and you can get through anything, Lord. Amen. I love you. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, and we worship you in our Amen. Identities and how you created us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Dorothy, for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you, listener, for checking in with us today. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Krause and Crane and